You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, follow us wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join me on Wednesdays to get in on the action. Spotify Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. Now, it is deadline day, so there is a lot to talk about when it comes to the Mets and when it comes to Major League Baseball right now. A lot of movement already. Max Scherzer and Trey Turner are no longer Nationals. Going to talk about that in the first segment as I do a rumor roundup of everything that's happened that pertains to the Mets and everything that could happen today. Then in the second segment, we'll talk about that series against the Atlanta Braves. The Mets ultimately lose 3-5. Disappointing final game as Taijuan Walker once again had a rough start. So I'll break that down in the second segment. Then in the final segment, I'll focus in a little bit on what the Mets will do this weekend against the Cincinnati Reds. Do a little bit of a preview of that. And also talk about my final conclusion of what I want to see the Mets do at the trade deadline this year. Before we get to any of that though, I'm your host Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. You can also follow the show at Locked On Mets. Still have time if you want to get in on that giveaway for a signed photo of both Ron Darling and another one of Edgardo Alfonso doing a giveaway there. So check that out as well. Now let's talk about the massive trade that took place on Thursday as the Dodgers swoop in to not only get Max Scherzer, but get Trey Turner. The Padres, their division rival, had originally been reported to be acquiring Scherzer. Then suddenly, the Dodgers, like the big brother they are, kick him down and say, nah, we'll take Scherzer. And you know what? Give me that Trey Turner guy, too. He's pretty good. Let's just load up. Let's be the most ridiculously stacked team in baseball. Who cares about the luxury tax? $300 million payroll, $400 million payroll. We'll pay all of Scherzer's money. We'll pay Turner. We'll just throw you some cash, Washington, because we don't care. We're the Dodgers. We're the big boys on the block, and we're going to make these moves so that we are the clear frontrunners to win a World Series. Crazy trade. Just crazy to see the Dodgers come in like that and really kind of put a stamp on this deadline before it ends, where now teams are going to be thinking, is it worth it? Should I be going all in this season if the Dodgers just added all this talent? What I would say is baseball is the one sport where a trade like this shouldn't impact what you do. If it's the NBA, and let's just say it's the equivalent of the Lakers making a trade and getting two All-Stars at the deadline when they already have LeBron James and Anthony Davis, you could say, you know what, let's all wrap it up. This thing's over. There's four All-Stars on one team, only five players playing on a court at once. That's it. But this isn't basketball. This isn't the NFL. Baseball, anything can happen. It's a cliche, but it's true. So you want to get to the dance, and you want to make sure that you have as good of a team as possible once you get there. So if you play a team like the Dodgers, you can play your best brand of baseball, and guess what? It can still be better than theirs, despite all the talent they have. So this was an insane move, but not one that should change the way the Mets approach the deadline. Now, getting specifically to the Mets and what we're hearing right now, they are still in the market for depth in their rotation, to maybe add an arm to the bullpen, and for a versatile position player, what we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks on this show. They really like the idea of getting Trevor Story and John Gray. That's a package that makes a lot of sense, but I'm starting to feel like that might be maybe the fallback option. They're still in talks with the Cubs, Chris Bryan, Javi Baez, Zach Davies, and Craig Kimbrell being some of the players they're interested in. The Cubs already made one move as they traded Anthony Rizzo. They've also traded a couple of their relievers. Rizzo goes to the Yankees, and one thing I want to say to Mets fans who get more upset about the Yankees adding Anthony Rizzo or Joey Gallo than the Dodgers acquiring Max Scherzer and Trey Turner, you got to get your priorities in order because the Mets aren't going to face the Yankees again this year unless it's in the World Series. So who cares what they're doing? Focus on the Mets. And right now, the Mets aren't doing anything. I know fans are getting antsy, but a lot of these deals again take place at the 11th hour. Something can happen at 4:05 that you didn't see coming that could change the complexion of everything. So right now, the Mets are talking with the Rockies and the Cubs. Those seem like the most likely deals to get done. They touch base again on Jose Berrios, but according to Andy Martino, they once again balked on the price tag to acquire him. There's apparently a lot of teams interested in Berrios. The Padres almost got Scherzer. Got to imagine that now they're going to be on the phone with Minnesota to try to get Berrios. You got Toronto that checked in. The Dodgers have checked in. Now I would doubt that they would get Berrios, but they're crazy. They might just say, hey, why not? Let's just add him. I mean, we just replenish prospects like crazy anyway, so it's fine. We'll trade for him too. Who knows what the Dodgers are thinking, but I doubt it's getting Jose Berrios. But yeah, the Rays interested, the Yankees interested. A lot of teams in on Berrios. So if they're going to get that prospect capital they desire, which is apparently outrageous, whether that's two top 100 prospects and more on top of it, the Mets are not going to be looking at Berrios at this point, especially considering the possibility of a Noah Syndergaard coming back, getting Carrasco, who's going to make a start tonight, Jacob deGrom around the corner. How much does Jose Berrios really move the needle? I don't think it's worth it to say give up Mauricio and Vientos or Mauricio and Alvarez, some crazy that they might be asking for. That's not worth it. So I think the only way Berrios ends up on the Mets is if all these teams balk at this ridiculous prospect capital they're searching for. And if they call the Mets at the 11th hour and they say, look, we want Ronnie Mauricio and we want to get Josh Donaldson's contract off our books. That's the one way I could see this happening still. Because there might not be any other team that's willing to swallow that Donaldson contract because he's making almost $22 million the next couple of years after this. There's still that poison pill buyout on the team option, the $16 million team option for 2024. So if the Twins aren't getting multiple top prospects that they like, and if they love Ronnie Mauricio, there might be that chance that they call the Mets up, try to get a deal done there. Maybe it's Mauricio and Davis for Berrios and Donaldson, something like that. But that is kind of the latest on what the rumors have been right now. The Mets are still on the phone. So the one thing I will say when it comes to players that could be on the move, the two names that have been brought up that are on the market is JD Davis and Ronnie Mauricio. Now you could imagine that Mark Vientos is probably getting a lot of traction on the market right now. Hit two more home runs, has 20 on the season in the minors. He's an attractive prospect, but I don't see them moving Beatty, Alvarez, Allen, probably not Gin. So if it is a big trade, it might be Mauricio, it might be Vientos, and there's a chance that JD Davis could be a throw-in in one of these deals as a sweetener, getting a guy who's still pretty cheap for one of these teams who can really hit but doesn't have a real position. And if you're acquiring someone like Chris Bryant in the deal, it would make a lot of sense because having Chris Bryant and JD Davis on the same roster, it doesn't necessarily make sense, along with Jonathan Villar and Louis Guillorme and all these other infielders the Mets have. If you're going to acquire somebody like that, it does kind of make sense to trade JD Davis, whether it's in the same package or if it's in another deal, if you can trade him and get a reliever who's a rental or something along those lines. So we'll see if Davis is moved. We'll see if the Mets make a big move. And we'll talk about all of that a little bit more in the third segment when I give you what I would like to see the Mets do ahead of the deadline. But in the next segment, going to focus in on a very disappointing loss as the Mets dropped their series against the Atlanta Braves. But first, I want to tell you about the best tasting protein bar ever, which is Built Bar. These are candy bars that just happen to be protein bars. That's how good they taste. Whether you want the coconut flavor, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, or my personal favorite, cookies and cream, there really is a flavor for everyone. You can get a mixed box where you can try multiple different flavors and see which ones you like. If you are interested in trying Built Bar today, go to BuiltBar.com to try these protein bars that are low in calories, low in sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. And once you're there, Use the promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, so let's talk Mets Braves. Mets had an opportunity, and they let it slip through their fingers. And I know there is some people today that are tuning in because they want me to rip on this Mets team. And I'll give you a little bit of that on the front end. Because this was an opportunity. You go back to what I said on Monday's show. You could put your foot down on the throat of the Braves, and you could end their season. Go out, you win 4 or 5, you send a message. And we didn't see that. So there is a big part of any fan watching that says, what are we doing here? Why can't we rise to the occasion? Because this is a Mets team that should be 10 games up in this division, honestly. I mean, this is a bad division. And the Mets are only 500 against their division right now, which is exactly why they don't have a bigger lead in the division. Because they haven't taken advantage of these opportunities to beat particularly the Braves and the Phillies this year. The Phillies, they're 8-5. They've done better against them. The Braves, though, they're 8-8. And the last series of the season is against Atlanta in Atlanta. And so once you get there, you're going to be looking back if there is a chance for the Braves to beat you and win the division. And you're going to look at this series and say, man, we let an opportunity pass us by. Or you're going to look back at some of those other series where maybe you were facing a Braves team that wasn't as good as whatever iteration is there on the final 3 days of the season, and you're going to be kicking yourself. And for the Mets this series, and in this last game, I don't want to do too heavy of a recap. Taijuan Walker wasn't good again, gave up 5 runs, a couple of homers, and that was really the story again. You had Taijuan Walker have a bad outing, and the offense did not produce enough. Pete Alonso hit a monster of a home run into the upper deck at Citi Field, a part of the ballpark that only he can reach. It was great to see that blast. 2-run homer. The Mets scored 3 runs. It's not the worst game offensively, but you look at the series as a whole and the offense didn't produce. And if you're going to get mad at anyone right now, that's the group of guys you get mad at. Because the starting rotation, there's excuses. Carlos Carrasco's out. DeGrom's out. Jared Eichhoff is in a hotel room thrown against a wall for 10 days. And then he gets called back into action. You shocked that he's going to throw some BP and get knocked around? I mean, I have been ripping Eichhoff more than anyone. But honestly, he's got a great excuse for why he didn't perform well. The bullpen was great in this series. The bullpen's the only reason they won 2 games. I mean, honestly. You had the second game of the doubleheader, bullpen game. They completely shut down the Braves. 1 run's enough to win it. Then you have the other game where Tyler McGill was great and the bullpen came in and was able to shut the door and win another squeaker against the Braves. And if not for those 2 games, the Braves could have swept this 5-game series and you would have completely seen your division lead evaporate. And who knows how active Atlanta would have been at the deadline. So it's a huge missed opportunity. And the one group you can point to is the lineup. And I have been one to say that in July, they have been good. And I'm not going to overreact to a 5-game sample and just erase everything I've said previously. Because at the end of the day, we hyper-analyze these series a little bit too much. It's just kind of the product of the sport. Whereas if you're talking about the NFL, a team will lose 1 week, they sit in that for a week, and then they play again, but you don't have this roller coaster of emotions because you're not playing as many games. Whereas a 500 baseball team, they can win 6 of 7, which is the equivalent to like a win in the NFL, be feeling great about themselves. You're on this complete high of a cloud 9, and then they lose 6 of 7, and now everyone's terrible. The team sucks. Ownership's awful. Trade for everyone. But the reality is, Chris Bryant's not going to come in here and fix all your problems. If you think Chris Bryant or Jose Berrios themselves could come in and make the Mets a real contender, you're fooling yourselves. One player doesn't do anything in this sport. You need a collective. And since July, we've seen Jeff McNeil turn it around. We've seen Pete Alonso have a ridiculous stretch coming out of the All-Star break. We've seen Dom hitting well. Prior to this series, JD Davis was hitting well. I think he felt the pressure of the deadline. That's why he had just an awful series against Atlanta. If he's still here tonight, I think he'll turn things around when that monkey's off his back. He'll be okay. But the point with all of this is that the way the Mets are going to be good this year is if the guys that they've had from the start of the season perform the way they're supposed to. It's the only way this team reaches their full potential. And I've talked at length about all of the different obstacles this team has gone through this year. And because of that, we give them a pass a lot of times. We say, look, all the injuries, everything they've gone through, the beginning of the season, they had the COVID outbreak to start things with the Nationals. And so that kind of curtailed their season. They had the most rain you'll ever see in a baseball season that continued to have games postponed. And there was doubleheaders. And this week, perfect example, they just played a doubleheader on Monday. That was a makeup for some of the games earlier on in the season. So that was your excuse in the beginning. Then all the position players went out. And you relied on your starting pitching. And you got just enough from the replacements. And you won a lot of games. That was the best stretch of the season, shockingly. Now you have this latest stretch where you can make the excuses about the starting rotation and everyone being hurt. But Carlos Carrasco is pitching tonight. Jacob DeGrom is coming right around the corner. And there is still a good chance someone's going to get added at the deadline. So the excuses stop. The free passes go away. Right now you have a lead in the division. And quite honestly, the Mets play 500 baseball from this point out. They might still win this division. What are they, still 7 games over 500 if I'm not mistaken? Or was that yesterday? Maybe it's 6 now. Regardless, that might be enough here. Does 87 wins win the NL East this season? Possibly. But if you want to actually go into the postseason and have a hope to compete against a Dodgers team that added Max Scherzer and Trey Turner to an already championship contender, and the Padres are probably going to make another big move, and you know the Giants have been playing great baseball all season. The Brewers are probably the team you're going to face. They have great starting pitching. They have a great roster. You got to start to gel in every facet. And the one thing that disappoints me, and it's hard to judge effort, and I'm not going to say the Mets didn't play hard, but I didn't see a sense of urgency in this 5-game series where it felt like a playoff atmosphere, where it felt like the Mets were trying to end the Braves season. And I think that is something that you can criticize them for. But I think overall, this is still the class of the NL East. It's just a class of a really bad division. And they're going to have to be better in the second half, not to win the East, but to prove that they can compete in the playoffs. And I don't think it's all about the one trade they make. I don't think you should be living and dying by this 4 p.m. deadline and what the Mets do. It's about getting Jacob DeGrom back, first and foremost. You're not going anywhere without him. And then it's about the guys on the roster like Michael Conforto playing like Michael Conforto can. And we saw it with that great throw. We've seen moments. We saw him hit the big home run against the Pirates to put the Mets ahead. He's had his moments. But he needs his hot streak. He needs the 2 weeks where Michael Conforto is the toughest out in the lineup. And I think we could see it, but there just hasn't been enough of that this year. And collectively, that's what you need right now. You don't need Chris Bryant, but maybe they'll get him. And that's what we'll talk about a bit in the next segment. I'll also preview the upcoming series against the Cincinnati Reds. But before we get to any of that, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. I threw some money on Trevor Story landing on the Mets. Plus 600 odds. We'll see if that comes through. A little bit of extra rooting interest there for me. BetOnline has you covered for that. They have you covered for awards, TV shows, reality TV, Major League Baseball, the NFL. They got so much there to bet on. They have you covered for all the new scores and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code Locked On. Again, that's promo code Locked On to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. because today is the trade deadline show, we will open and close talking about that. So before we get to my final notes on the deadline, let's preview this series against the Cincinnati Reds, who've been playing great baseball ever since they left against the Mets. They've won five of their last seven. They're on a three-game winning streak. And Joey Votto is on another planet right now. He's homered in six straight games, and he has two multi-home run games mixed in there. So eight home runs over his last six games. Now, you could say he is due for some massive regression, but he also can stay red hot and kill the Mets in this series. So that is one bat you got to watch out for. When it comes to the pitching matchups, Carlos Carrasco will finally make his Mets debut tonight. And as everyone talks about Berrios and you got to add Davies, I had a podcast a couple of weeks back where I talked about how good Carlos Carrasco is. Scroll through the library, you can find it, where I talked about how Carlos Carrasco, since I believe it was, I want to say the year was 2014, if I'm not mistaken, he's been like a top 10 pitcher in baseball. His stats are right up there with some of the names that you're talking about at the deadline, with the Scherzers, with DeGrom, with Kershaw. Not quite as good as those guys, but he has been that level of a pitcher. And I feel like people are forgetting how good Carlos Carrasco is and the fact that he's the second best starting pitcher on this team. Going into the year, he was supposed to be the number two. If you think it was Marcus Stroman, you're mistaken. It was supposed to be Carlos Carrasco. Cookie is a beast. So if you get him back, and look, he's coming off a hamstring. The arm should be fine. He ramps it up, if the hamstring's good, and you're getting that great version of Carlos Carrasco that we've seen for years with the Indians, who has all that playoff experience, that is a huge boost to this Mets team. So we'll see what Carlos Carrasco does. He's probably still on that pitch limit. I'd imagine the most we'd see is 60 pitches out of him, maybe 75, but I think the last time out his rehab started was 38, so that'd be a massive jump. So I think probably 60 pitches, maybe four innings is the most you're going to get out of him, but at least he's back, he's ramping up, and maybe two or three starts from now, he'll be at full strength. He's going against Sonny Gray, who's been injured himself this year, has made just 14 starts. In four starts since coming off the IL in July, he has a 7.20 ERA, gave up eight runs against the Cardinals on Sunday. Saturday, it'll be Wade Miley versus Rich Hill. Hill was decent his last time out. Went out there one inning too long, but his pitch count was so low through five. How could you blame Louis Rojas for that decision? We'll see what he does against the Reds. Wade Miley dominated the Mets the last time these two teams met. Another soft-tossing lefty that will carve up a Mets lineup and frustrate you to no end. But hey, maybe Chris Bryant's in the lineup by Saturday, and maybe he can take all that knowledge from the NL Central and hit some long balls against Miley. That is a possibility for sure. One that will excite the fan base. And another thing that will excite the Mets lineup is they get a face of Vladimir Gutierrez again on Sunday. The last time they faced him was that game I was at in Cincy last Monday, where Ikoff started. Love seeing him in person. What a moment. Can't wait to tell my kids one day that I got to see Jared Ikoff pitch in a Mets uniform. That was a ridiculous game, as you all know. Back and forth, extra innings. The Mets scored six runs off of Gutierrez and hit three homers. And that was in four innings. So, should be a great matchup for the Mets, especially when you consider Marcus Stroman had his best start of the year against the Reds, where he went eight innings and allowed just one hit. So, a good opportunity if the Mets end up in a rubber mat situation where they can win this series. Let's get back, though, to the deadline and what I want to see the Mets do here. Personally, I wouldn't even mind if the Mets stood pat. I know there's going to be fans who are immediately ready to turn off the podcast and say, what are you doing? We got to add. And I get it. And I want to see the Mets make a trade. I'm saying I'd be fine if they didn't, because I trust the front office that's in place. I trust Zach Scott knows how to evaluate players, and I trust he's not going to make a bad trade. So if every trade that's presented is a terrible value to the future of the Mets, and you're talking about some long odds anyway to win a World Series this year, I'm okay with the Mets sitting back and trusting that their guys can win this division without an addition, because I really think that's the case. And if you get into the playoffs with this current roster and Jacob DeGrom's healthy, you still have a shot. Now, I would obviously like to see the Mets make a move. And the more I've thought about this, and I really have gone back and forth, I've been able to accept any of the packages on the table. I've seen the value in Berríos, and I've even been comfortable with the idea of taking on Donaldson's contract, because I actually think he'd be a plus player this year, and you worry about the money later. But I don't think that's the move, because I think Berríos is going to cost too much. I've talked myself, especially the last couple of days, into the Trevor Story, John Gray trade, because I think John Gray makes a lot of sense to come out of the Mets bullpen, as well as be an insurance policy in the rotation. I think Trevor Story can be better than he's been this season. But you see reports that John Gray wants to stay in Colorado long term. He's trying to get a contract extension hammered out right now. If he's not in the package and it's just to acquire Story, I'm not a fan. So with all that said, the deal that I would like to see the Mets make at the deadline, the one that I, as a fan, want to see happen, it's Chris Bryant. We've been talking about Chris Bryant since the offseason. I have been trying to speak Chris Bryant to the Mets into existence for so long. I think he is the perfect fit. He is the Yoenis Cespedes this year. He is the guy who's won an MVP. Javi Baez has had his moments. He hasn't carried a team the way Chris Bryant has. And that is the player. And if you can find a way to get Craig Kimbrel in the deal, I don't even care if the Mets don't get another starter. Build out a super bullpen and get the best player that's left on the board that's available. So if I'm Zach Scott and Jed Hoyer calls me up, and maybe I've been playing my chips close to the vest and I've been saying you can't have Ronnie Mauricio, he's an untouchable, we're not doing it, and you're finally trying to hammer out a deal, and he says, look, we want Ronnie Mauricio. That's our guy. That's the one we want. And we want J.D. Davis too, because, you know, we can sell that to our fan base. He can be a guy that can be in our lineup the next couple of years. We're in on him as well. And maybe they even want some other throw-in prospects that aren't as important. And you're torn because you don't want to trade Ronnie Mauricio for a rental. I would make that deal. I would make that deal knowing that you're probably paying too much, but Chris Bryant is going to appease your fan base. Chris Bryant is going to give you a chance to run away with this division. And in a playoff series, Chris Bryant has the ability against a team with great pitching like the Brewers, who he also has a lot of familiarity with, by the way, to hit 4 home runs in a series and win a huge playoff series for you and get you to the NLCS. That's what Bryant can do for you, and that's why you have to pay a premium to get these guys. I can be talked into a lot of situations, but the one that gets me the most excited, and the one that has got me the most excited since December, is Chris Bryant in a Mets uniform. Hopefully that's what we see at the deadline. And here is the rundown for your coverage with Locked On Mets. As this deadline goes on, I will be live on the YouTube show at Locked On MLB. I'll be going on the stream at about 4:00, but the show starts at 3:00. So check that out. Also, I'll give you a show most likely, unless nothing gets done. You're going to have a Saturday episode that's going to come out. I'll probably record it after the deadline, and I'll post it late tonight, I guess, as you're listening to this, late Friday night. So you guys will have my breakdowns of whatever happens at the deadline with the New York Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter @FinkelsteinRyan. Follow the show @LockedOnMets.